Welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. We're having a good long reading cycle today.
I guess they hadn't seen each other since last week.
Praise the Lord. That's a long
time. All right, well, we have some praise reports today. This one's from Colorado. They called into the ministry center, and they either talked to Sharon or Jenny. I'm not sure which one. But Lorene asked for prayer for her brother-in-law, and he had gallstones. And after she called here, they completely disappeared after prayer.
Praise the Lord.
All right, this one's from Will. He said, Thurman and Cheryl, God bless you all. This is a praise report about our marriage. Praise report about our marriage. Since asking for prayer last August, my wife has not threatened any divorce for over 9 months. That's, praise the Lord, that's the longest span in our 12-year marriage. She used to threaten me every 3 months and had filed for divorce 4 times in 12 years. Thank you for praying. Thank God and Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I guess she decided she's going to stick with him now. All right, this is from Max Probasco. Y'all all know the different stories about Max where he spoke to the refrigerator and the refrigerator turned back on and kept running. Then they lost some earrings. And after even the cleaning lady and the wife taking a shower and him taking a shower, he ends up, didn't he step on it? He stepped on it and found the earring with the back connected to it, which made no sense at all. But anyway, that was another one. He says, praise the Lord, how great is God. So as you know, we have in the past prayed for God to bring earrings back home, and he has returned them to us. Karen, his wife, went to get her nails done this morning and was wearing a diamond cross I gave to her 8 or 10 years ago. Karen came in today holding the chain and told me that I needed to pray for finding the diamond cross. I prayed and thanked God for bringing it home. Karen was about to retrace her steps to all the places she had been this morning. Tyler, one of their triplets, is home from college, and he was going to change the oil in his truck, and so we were moving cars in the driveway. And as Karen is headed to her car, she looked down, and at her feet, there lay the cross. Praise the Lord. Max. Okay, this one is a very interesting one. We first had the mother wrote us about her son, and he has a lot of problems, and he's been in and out of mental institutions. And so we had prayed, and then right behind it came the grandmother, and the grandmother said that the grandson has bipolar disorder, depression, social anxiety disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. The above are what some of my 19-year-old grandson's been diagnosed with. He has suicidal and homicidal thoughts. He believes that he will not live past 40 because he will take his own life. He's on all types of meds from doctors and has been abusing drugs and alcohol in the past. As far as I know, it's in the past. He's been in and out of 2 to 3 mental institutions. He's been arrested, put in jail, bailed out, and helped by all who love him. Along with all of this, his biological father has similar problems, but not as severe. On the same side of the family, his uncles are either homeless or in jail. 5 days ago, he hit a semi-truck going 70 miles an hour with no seatbelt on. This tells me that he's possibly trying to kill himself. God spared his life with a bump on the head. That same day, he committed himself to a mental institution for the 3rd time for suicidal thoughts and angry thoughts. He, Thomas, is at his lowest and believes he will never get better and that there is no hope. Please help. He is only 19 years old. Can he be healed of this disorder? Can it be under satanic influence? And how can we help? We are in desperate need. All right, we wrote back. Yes, there is hope. Jesus can deliver anybody. We've already prayed for him through his mother's request and kicked the demons out, and Thomas is going to get well. All you need to do is praise the Lord, as we have already prayed for his deliverance. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman. So then she wrote back, let's see, this started April the 30th, and now it was May the 4th. Thank you for allowing Jesus to work through your ministry and being so open to allow for outsiders to call at any time with desperate situations. My grandson, Thomas, called last night to ask forgiveness from us for doing some things in our house that he should not have done. His heart was truly softened with the love of God. A few days ago, he would have just been cold and uncaring as if nothing mattered and would have never asked for forgiveness for anything. He would have lied, took if he could, and it would have been all about him and what he wanted. It's only been a few days, but we can see a large difference in him as well as his mother. A true miracle, no doubt in my mind, that the Lord is working in my family and God holds true to his word. God bless you, April.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That last one, let me ask you a question. When we talk about this praise report, used to, just a few years ago, whenever somebody would come to you and say, we have a problem with a person that has a mental disorder. When you say you have a problem with a mental disorder, most of the time, people are, they just put up a barricade or something saying, well, I know that some of the best doctors in the world can't help this person, so why should I think I could help them? I mean, I know how we work. I know how the human body works, and it goes into a doubt mode, doubting that you can do anything. Well, the other night when we got this praise report, I had just listened to one of the teachings I'd done years ago. And the teaching I did, there was a man and his wife came to see a couple that I went to see, and we were going to go work on the wells. So whenever we went and got in the car to go down to where the well was, of course I'm talking with the man and his wife and this other couple, and we're talking about Jesus and all the things that Jesus does. Of course, my first question to those people, are you a Christian? When I meet somebody I've never seen before, my first question is, are you a Christian? And, you know, sometimes they say yes, and usually they'll say yes. If you're on fire for Jesus, usually they'll just say yes to get rid of you. Well, they don't want you to talk about Jesus. But see, that don't get rid of me. I know what your problem is, and I know the problem in your life is the lack of Jesus. You know, either you're like you are because of Jesus, you know, being so good to you or whatever. So anyway, with this particular case, I talked about Jesus all the way down to the well and back. When we got back, the man said, well, I've got to go home. He lives 150, 200 miles away. He said, I've got to go home. And so he went out and got in his car, and his wife said, well, I'll be along later. So anyway, he left. The lady comes to me and she said, sir, it is absolutely obvious that you have studied this book called the Bible. You don't have to be around me long to know that. You know that?
That's right.
Because if that's all you know to talk about is Jesus, and you're quoting scriptures, I have scripture after scripture, everybody knows you know something about this book, right?
Yep.
So anyway, she said, that, but my husband, I know when you ask him if he's a Christian, he told you he was, but she said he's not a very good Christian. She said, I've lived with this man now, I think she said 35 years or something like that, long time. And she said, he is not a very nice man. He's been very hard to live with. I can hardly get along with him, and said, I should have divorced him a long time ago. But she said, he is very difficult to get along with. When she told me that, I told her, I said, well, if he says he's a Christian, then he is a child of God, but I said, he don't know anything about the book, and I said, there's spirits that's inside of his body that's ruling his body, that he has no authority over, and actually doesn't know he has authority over. So I said, but those spirits that's ruling your husband's life, I have complete authority over those spirits. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, have you ever heard of Luke 10, 19, and 20? She says, no. I said, well, that scripture says, behold, Jesus is speaking, behold, I give unto you power or authority to trample on the serpent and his demons. All power is given to you over them. They shall in no wise harm you. Nevertheless, rejoice not that those evil spirits have to be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. I said, now that's written. She said, my goodness, I never heard of such a verse. I said, that's why you can't get anything done. I said, you've got to not only have that, you got to have it in your heart. So I said, would you like to, for your husband to be changed? Well, of course I'd like for my husband to be changed. But he's on the way home. He's, you know, miles away by this time. I said, in the spirit world, there's no such thing as distance in time.
That's right.
I said, we can pray right here. I said, I want us to kneel right here with this other couple. I asked them, I said, would you all mind kneeling with me on the floor? And they said, of course not. So we all knelt on the floor. And as we knelt there, I told them, I said, now then, I'm going to take authority. I said, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to remit your sins and my sins. Amen. Then I'm going to ask Jesus to wash you in the blood and wash me in the blood. I want us to be clean and pure and holy before the King. And so we did all that, and they didn't have a major problem with that. Once we got that done, I told them, I said, now then, I'm going to take authority over those wicked spirits of hell, and I'm going to command and demand. Jesus said in John 14, 13, and 14, that I can do the same things he did, but for it to happen, I have to demand in his name. In fact, when I learned that lesson years ago, I thought, you know, Lord, why, if you're the one told me to ask in your name, if you're the one that's telling me to do it, why did you tell me to demand? Of course, in the scripture, it says whatever you ask. But when you really go to the resource information that you go to, you look at that and you'll find out that that says, whatever you demand in my name, I will do it for you. Demand. I said, Lord, why do I have to demand? He said, son, he completed something that Dave started today when he's talking about communion. It's all been done. The price has been paid in full for our salvation and our healing for the whole world. But we don't know it. And if you don't know it, you can't receive something by faith that you don't know belongs to you. But if you know it, you can receive it. So I told him, I said, we're going to wash ourselves in the blood. We're going to remit our sins. Then I'm going to take authority over those spirits of anger and rage, bitterness, one by one. One spirit, I'm going to come upon them, and I'm going to command those spirits to leave your husband and go to the abyss and never come back. I said, and they have to obey me. It is written in God's word. And so anyway, we did all this. I took authority over those spirits of anger and rage. I commanded them to leave. Then I asked the Lord to fill him with the spirit of love, joy, and peace. All the things that I did. It took 20 or 30 minutes to do all that. We got through. I said, okay. I said, Lord, now I thank you for totally changing this man's life forever. He'll never be the same after today. I guarantee it in Jesus' name. I've learned the King loves for you to guarantee his word.
Amen.
You're realizing that you're not doing it, he's doing it.
Right.
And so anyway, we stood up, and the lady looked at me and she said, I have never heard a prayer like that in my life. And I have a real problem believing that something that you said here in this room is going to change my husband, which is miles away. I said, ma'am, you don't understand what makes things work. But I said, the entire world is run by the spiritual kingdom of God.
Amen.
And we don't even have a clue what we have in our hand. The power that's available to us. But I said, you go home and I guarantee you'll have a new husband. So she left and I left and I come back to Dallas. About 2 months later, I get a letter, and I open it up, and it's from this lady. She said, "Sir, I knew you said that my husband would be a different man. But she said, when I got home, he met me in a state of love never experienced before. Said, my husband has been the sweetest, loving man ever since I met you." She said, "When I got home and he said, I kept thinking, this can't continue to last. It's too good to be true."
No.
I mean, what do we do? Is that the way we are? Of course, if you don't know the word here, you're a child of God. You've got all this power and authority, and you don't believe you can use it. That's why we have the problems we have. If you don't use the Word of God, it won't work. You got to do something. So anyway, I took authority over all that and prayed over all that, of course. And then when the lady, she said, this lasted. And so she said, after about a month or 6 weeks, I thought, this is going to go on forever. This is great. My husband loves me. He's kind to me. It's like I'm married to a different man. After 35 years being married to a devil, and that's what she was. She was married to a devil. Now then, she's married to a man that's a true man of God that's being controlled by the Spirit of God in a spirit of love, joy, and peace. Now, is that quite a bit of difference?
Oh, yes.
So anyway, when she said, that day I didn't get your name. So she said, I wasn't too impressed with what I heard because I'd never heard anything like this in my life. But she said, after it helped for about 6 weeks, I drove that 150 or 200 miles back to where I met you at that house. And I went to that home, and she said, I didn't know those people's name. So I said, I had to just drive back there. I couldn't call them on the phone because I didn't know what their name was. So she said, I drove back and I met that woman, and I asked him, do they have your phone number and address and phone number? And they said, of course they did. And so she said, I had to write you to let you know that my husband is a brand new husband. Hallelujah. Now then, if you know that you have that kind of authority, you know that you can pray. I heard another man one day that confirmed this for me. A man was walking along here and he came up to this woman. She was crying. He said, ma'am, what's wrong with you? And she says, my husband of 25 years just told me that he wants a divorce. He don't love me no more. He says, does he profess to be a Christian? And she said, well, yes, he says he is. He said, oh, he just had a little encounter with the devil. Said, I'm fixing to kick that devil. Said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of this man. Leave him alone. Well, said, tell me what his name is. So she told him. He said, Satan, I command you to come out, take all your devils with you now and go away and go back to the abyss and don't you ever come back. Now leave this woman alone and this man. Do you hear me? In Jesus' name. Now, Father, send the spirit of love, joy, and peace into this woman and this man and send that man home, Lord. Bring him home for supper. He said, what time do you have supper in the evening, ma'am? She said, 6 o'clock. She said, you go home and you fix his favorite dinner. It'd be have it ready at 6. So he'll be there at 6, I guarantee, in Jesus' name. Somebody said, you don't have that kind of power. Let me tell you, Jesus said, if you believe with no doubt in your heart, not only can you do the same things he did, but greater things than he did, so you do them in my name. And if you don't think you got that kind of power, you just try it sometime. I guarantee that when you get to where you can believe it, but that devil, if you're first trying to do this, the first time you try this, and something sets upon your shoulder and says, you fool, it ain't going to work for you. You know who that is, don't you?
I sure do.
That's the devil, and you don't want to listen to him because this woman, whenever she said, when I got back and got your name, she said, I'm telling you, my husband has been the most wonderful man ever. She said, I had no idea. Well, most people don't. You know what happens to a man and a woman just like this man? That whenever he said, told this woman, said, go home and have dinner ready, and your husband will come home, and he did. He walked in kind of sheepishly at 6 o'clock and said, I knew dinner's always ready at 6, and I'm so sorry that I spoke harshly to you. Am I forgiven? And she said, of course, dinner's ready. I expected you to be home. And so he went in and had dinner with his lovely wife. We all are going to have encounters with the enemy. If you don't believe that, just stop and look at your life, and you tell me, Have you ever had an encounter with the devil? Most of you had an encounter with the devil and didn't even know you were having an encounter with him. He is so slick and so sly, you don't even know how he works. But whenever he tries to do something to you, you tell him where to go and what to do, and remember who you are in Christ. So anyway, when I get this deal the other night, what would you have done? What if you're laying there in bed or you're sitting there in Cheryl's office and you get a report like this about this child's got all these problems, you know, he's mentally incapacitated. You read all the stuff. You heard all the stuff she quoted about that child, did you not? So what are you going to do? Well, if you happen to serve the King of the King of the King of Kings, and his name's Jesus Christ, and nothing is impossible with a request like that, and you got a God that can't do nothing wrong and it can do anything you can ask him for, what are you going to do with this situation? You're going to take authority over that devil. You're going to tell that devil where to go. You're going to kick him out of your house. You're going to kick him out of this boy's life. And you're going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to do a great and mighty work in that boy's life and change his life forever. Then you're going to say, now I guarantee it's done in Jesus' name because Cheryl and I have prayed.
Amen.
Somebody says, who do you think you are? That's the whole thing. I don't think who I am. I know who I am.
Right.
What did Dave reiterate to you a while ago? Who are you? Are you sons and daughters of the Most High God?
Yes, hallelujah.
Are you just as righteous as God himself?
Yes. Hallelujah.
If you get a hold of who you're dealing with, and you're not just dealing with anybody, you're dealing with a king.
Amen.
And he's your king.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any difference what's going on, what happens to your body, you know, nothing. You take authority over those spirits, you drive them spirits out, and you praise and worship the king for your complete healing. Amen. And you don't go by what you see.
Amen.
If I had went by what I heard, with that woman and that the man, he was not impressive, I will have to say. He didn't know anything about the Word of God. He only answered questions when he had to. But how many people on this earth are ruled with that? I think here a while back, Cliff, he was telling me, he was giving us a testimony. I'm sure it probably didn't impact you like it did me. But somebody wanted him to do something, and he finally just told him, he said, well, I'm not even going to let you pray. He said, just get out of the way. You need to let a man of God pray. And I thought, there is a man that knows who he is in Christ.
Amen.
Hey, that's the way Smith Wigglesworth was whenever they were on the way to the U.S. from England, whenever they run into a fog. When they run into this fog, they go along for 2 or 3 days in this dense fog. And finally, Smith calls the captain. He says, sir, I have a meeting I'm supposed to be in New York City at a certain date. He said, if this persists, am I going to make it? He says, no. He said, so, well, let's go somewhere and pray then. And so the captain said, well, come to my office. So they went to the office, and Smith went down there, and Smith prayed. Lord, I asked you, you said I could ask for anything, so I asked you to take away this fog and move it. Let the skies be clear so we can see how to go only full speed in this ship so I can get to New York in time for the meeting. Thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. The captain said, okay, I'll pray now. And he said, no, I don't want you to pray. He said, you pray in unbelief. So he said, it only took me anyway. So he said, I've already prayed. The fog is gone. Open the door and look out. You don't have to worry. The captain reached over, opened the door and looked out, and it was clear as a bell. And he says, sir, how did you do this? He says, that's what I thought. You know, you don't even know how to do it. And you want to know why I don't want you to pray? You want to know why it's a good thing not to call most of us to pray in the church? Because we don't know how to pray.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you know how to pray, you pray and you ask the Father in Jesus' name to do something. Then you say, okay, God said all of his promises are yes and amen. So it's a done deal. I don't need nobody else to pray. So when... after I prayed the other night for this little boy, I told him, I said, now, Cheryl, honey, you agree with me? And she said, I do. So we kicked out those demons. We done all those things. I said, okay, right back and tell them, that boy is set free and done, and it's a guarantee. Jesus, can Jesus deliver anybody?
Absolutely.
But if you try to think, I'm doing this,
no.
Oh, boy, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
But you have to be used of the King for His glory. And so I just think. I was thinking the other night after I listened to that tape that I made several years ago, 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when I think about when you make a tape and then you make a, tell a story. And did you know, until I listened to that tape the other day, I hadn't even remembered that story with that man. In 10, 15 years, I have not remembered at all that story. And it's amazing how God increased my faith, because after I listened to that tape, I told some of y'all the next Sunday, I said, you know, I just listened to this tape that I made, and it was the question and the answer. I said, if you want to build your faith, listen to the tape, the question and the answer. And if you want to really build your faith, because I listened to it. Some of it I listened to a couple of times. I listened to that because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You know, you need to quote to yourself, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. They shall in no wise hurt you." No wise. So nevertheless, rejoice not that these evil spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. If you've got a scripture like that, and you read that scripture regularly, and you got it locked in your heart, and you know, and it becomes a reality to you that you know that you have all power and all authority in Jesus' name, what can you do?
Anything.
That's exactly right. Anything. There's nothing hard. Amen. Now then, I want to you listen to that praise report of that little boy that has all the mental problems. And it's amazing when we pray, from the time we prayed, God can translate that prayer from where we were here in either in the ministry center or laying in bed, I don't know where, but from right there to that boy, to that devil, and he done it just like that. Totally changed that boy's life. Totally. And then the grandmother, when she calls back a couple of days later, it's absolutely out of this world. In other words, there's no two ways about it. That grandmother was smart enough to know that when a pastor miles away tells her what he is, who he is, what he can do, and he takes authority over these spirits and now guarantees the life of his grandson is going to be totally changed from this day forward, and it happens overnight, she knows that this man that's praying is attached to somebody besides himself.
That's right.
He's definitely not hooked up with himself. But he's disconnected from himself, and he's hooked up to the King of Kings.
Yes.
But with the King of Kings, is it easy for him to answer a question like that?
Yes.
He can totally change your life in one heartbeat.
That's right.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, so anyway, I'm going to forward in talking in a testimony mode. We got some more new pictures this last week. Of praise reports. What's the little girl's name? Lola?
Lola.
16
months.
I told that story last Sunday, and a couple wrote us this last week, and they were listening to the CD or listening to the tape or whatever. They were listening live on the internet. And they said it's amazing, and she said she's pregnant again, right?
And from Australia.
Yeah, and she's from Australia. Now then, this mother, now, you know, some of you wasn't here last Sunday, so you didn't hear this story. So when you go out the doorway right here, we have three of the most awesome testimony stories that you've ever heard. I mean, three of them. I mean, they're just out of this world. I mean, it's things like I never dreamed of hearing. I mean, I never dreamed of ever hearing a testimony like these three testimonies. I'm going to mention a little bit about each one of them here so that you will know this God that we serve. I mean, Ephesians 3:20, when he says, "I want to introduce you to the King that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can even think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in you. Well, let me tell you, the problem is we don't have that power in us because we don't study His Word. You need to be sitting there with His Word. You need to be pounding yourself with the Word. It needs to be going in you day and night. Day and night. Meditate on the Word day and night. When the King says that, He means it. Meditate on the Word day and night. Then your ways will be prosperous, and then you will have great success. But meditate on the Word day and night. Well, Lola's mother. I'll start with her because it was the last testimony. Little Lola, 16 months old. Little Lola was desired by her mother and father they wanted a baby. So if you want a baby, the best thing to do, now I don't know if they did this or not, but maybe they'll write me back and tell me after this, if they're listening today, that the best thing in the world to do if you want a child is pray. Don't go to the doctor. Pray. Ask God to give you a baby. Okay. When you get pregnant, now then, what would you think would be the best thing for you to do? Praise Him. That's exactly right. Yep. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. So you're praising Him for this baby. But instead, this mother starts enjoying the discomforts of pregnancy. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you had much more discomfort with your babies than others. But all of you have had discomfort more than likely. I mean, Cheryl and I talked about this when we were discussing this. And she was pregnant twice. She had two children, a boy and a girl. And she told me, she said, I hated being pregnant. I was miserable the whole time being pregnant. I hated being pregnant.
I hated being fat.
Oh. She wanted to be a little bitty slim girl, but anyway, she didn't like it, so she grew older and complained. She was lucky. I don't know why God did what He did, but she was lucky. But anyway, Lola's mother and daddy, when mother began to undergo and enjoy the benefits of being pregnant, she's a normal woman, I guess I should say. Because most women, when they have a baby and are having a baby, if they're undergoing morning sickness and all that stuff, nearly all of them will say, I hate being pregnant. Is that right? So that's kind of the way it is. But anyway, she grumbled and complained, I guess nearly every day. She was grumbling. Did God say in His Word to grumble and complain or not to grumble and complain?
No.
It says the Lord hates grumbling and complaining. Is that what it says, God?
Yes.
Yeah. If God said in His Word, you know, it's amazing. If God said in His Word, I hate grumbling and complaining. If you grumble and complain about everything, you know, there's one thing. Either you don't know the Word of God or you're not very smart, one of the two. Most people, I think, is they just don't know that God will retaliate if you don't do what He says. But you need to always know that there's a consequence for not obeying God. And so anyway, Lola's mother, and at least her mother, she grumbled and complained, I guess, on a daily basis because she was pregnant and she was uncomfortable. And that's pretty normal, I think. So anyway, taking care of the baby the whole 9 months, grumbling and complained the whole time. And then the baby's born, beautiful little girl. Go a couple of weeks, just a couple of weeks, and the little girl began to break out with what looks like ringworms. Some kind of terrible, incurable itch that cannot be healed. I think they tried everything. I think they tried doctors.
They put the pictures up.
We got pictures up? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And so you see what this little girl looks like.
All over her body and her face.
All over her body. I mean, she was awful. And so, but of course, the mother had grumbled and complained during the entire pregnancy. So anyway, somehow they got in contact with us and started listening to our stuff or whatever.
And they're in Australia.
And they live in Australia. But we've had lots of stuff go to Australia lately. In fact, we sent a couple of boxes of stuff the other day. Didn't that go to Australia?
And he wants to put you all over the internet.
Yeah, this one guy over there that's over there. we sent a box of CDs.
No, they're all DVDs.
Oh, DVDs, okay, a box of DVDs. I actually sent two boxes of DVDs, and it cost us over $100 a box for postage. You know, you got to really believe that what you're doing is really making a difference. You don't just go down to the post office and mail a couple of boxes that cost over $100 a piece to send to somebody you never heard of. But we do. We do that all the time. So we sent the boxes to Australia. And this couple, as they started listening to our teachings, they heard somehow about ask God if you got a problem, if you can't get healed, ask the Lord. And so they did that. They went to the Lord and asked the Lord, Lord, we got a problem here. And our little girls broke out. And so the Lord revealed to the mother, it was her grumbling and complaining that made the child sick. Now, this is crazy. Nobody in their right mind is going to believe a story like that. God would never do things like that. I know I've been there and done this with so many people. But will God do this?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he will. I mean, did he strike King David's baby dead with sickness because of David's sin?
Yes, he did.
I mean, if King David, which was a man after God's own heart, if he didn't do what God told him to do, and he went out and committed adultery, and when the baby was born, the Lord struck that child with sickness, and it died in 1 week, the scripture says. If he did that to King David's baby, would he do it to yours?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that something? That's really something. So anyway, you stop and think. But you know, I mean, I had a guy write me a note the other night. I mean, and I listened to as much of it as I could listen to. And I told Cheryl, I said, that's it. The guy, he has no knowledge. He says, God would never do these things. He began to tell me how that God doesn't put sickness on people. God doesn't create sickness. And he's just on and on and on. And I listened to Cheryl read that. And I finally told her, I said, that's it. Turn it off. Throw that away. You can throw that on everything that guy's saying. It will not hold water. And I've seen God do everything. Everything that God, Cheryl read to me the other night, I've seen God do probably 50 times. And here you're telling me that God don't do this? I'd be like saying, you know, God don't save everybody. He only saves those that are whatever. But God don't save everybody. He won't save you. Now, Barron, he'd probably save Barron, but me, he'd never save me. How many will God save Barron?
Oh.
Anybody that comes to him and asks in faith, right?
Yeah.
He's waiting for you to ask. That's all he's waiting for. So anyway, whenever they went to the Lord began to tell them, somehow revealed to the mother, that it was her grumbling and complaining that made her baby sick. So naturally, they repented. They've been listening to some of our stuff because on the internet, Cheryl didn't realize the other night, I guess I didn't either. I told her, I said, just go to the internet and type in Thurman Scrivener on YouTube and see what you find. And my lands, did we find some stuff. Oh, my goodness gracious alive, Cheryl, because she said, I can't believe the things that's on here. I mean,
Yeah,
other people got healed. They put them up. So, anyway, if you got healed and you want to put something up on YouTube, that's great. It's okay with us. We love it. We even enjoyed listening and reading it ourselves. It was really good. Wow. All I got to say is we need to find out who that couple is. You know, that couple, they get people healed. That's the ones I want praying for me. Isn't that the way to do it?
Yeah.
You want somebody that knows how to get somebody set free and delivered. That's who you want praying for you too.
Yeah.
If you ask somebody, you want to pray for me, and they say, well, I don't know whether I can do that or not. I don't know whether God heals anymore or not. You don't want that guy praying for you. Because he can't pray in faith, I guarantee. So anyway, they repented of their sin, and the mother did. And then they remembered. The father, the husband, is the head of the home. So the praying after repentance by the mother needs to be prayed by the father. The husband, the father, is the head of the wife and the head of the family. That's what God's word says. So if God's word says that, why argue about it? I mean, if you want to be sick and your children to be sick, just keep believing that God don't, his word doesn't work like it's written. So anyway, the daddy prayed.
5 days.
Yeah, 5 days, the baby's completely, totally healed. In 5 days, let's see what that child looks like. Look at that, look at that little thing. Now, we didn't have pictures last week. This week we had pictures. Isn't that a beautiful little thing? See, yeah, and when you go out, if you want to really see the pictures, good. As you go out the doorway, right there in the doorway, all the pictures of Lola is on the left side as you go out, right below Gideon, little Gideon. You notice this case with Lola, the mother was the culprit. The mother, she was the one that caused the problem. Yeah, and that's what I was just fixing. I was fixing to make that point. But I'm going to tell you that the mother was the reason that the sickness came on all three of these kids. All of them. Every one of them. So the thing about it is, the reason that I was going to point this out, that not only was the mother the reason for these children to be sick, but you wonder, even after, in all three cases, every one of them done it God's way and had the daddy or the husband pray for the child. In all three cases, not one single case did the mother pray for the child. Not one. But in every case, the child was prayed for by the father. And in every case, anywhere from a day or two or a few days to a couple of weeks, all of these children with these terrible, awesome sores all over their body was completely healed. Now, I had an Assembly of God pastor came out here the other day, and I was telling him about this story. And he said, "Do you have pictures of that child?" I said, "I have pictures." I didn't have pictures of the little one because it's been a few months ago. I said, "I have pictures of Jenna. I'd like to show you the pictures of Jenna." That's the only one I had. So he had one of his deacons with him and him, and we walked in there, and I showed him Jenna, and I told him the story about Jenna and how Jenna got healed after mother repented for lying to her husband and her and lying and deceiving her husband. After that was done, that Assembly of God pastor stood right there beside me looking at those pictures. And he turned over and looked at his deacon. He said, "What do you think?" He said, "That's the wildest story I ever heard." He said, "If you were to tell this story in our church, you would be thrown out. Because we don't believe God would do something like that to a child." Now then, if you don't believe God will do something like that to a child, then where's that coming from? Who's in charge of the universe?
God.
Who made everything that's made?
God.
Who makes everything happen that happens?
God.
But does he use the devil?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we can go back into the old covenant, back into the new covenant, and see where the man didn't forgive everybody from his heart. And it says, "And the Father sent the tormenting spirits to torment that family because of his unwilling to forgive." So isn't that amazing that God, the Father, will send a tormenting spirit to torment you and your family, your children. And if just in case somebody don't know where that's at and you want to look it up, it's in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. So if you go to Matthew 18, 21 through 35, you'll find out that if you don't forgive everybody from your heart, not only will God not forgive you, but he will send a tormenting spirit to torment you and your wife and your children and your assets. It's isn't that awful? But it says that. It says God will do that. So anyway, I was amazed, but I think to myself, by believing what I heard, believing what I read, believing the Word of God. That's why I can have the faith now to pray for somebody like that little boy the other night. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind. I mean, there was absolutely no doubt in my mind when Cheryl read that all about this little boy. The question is always this. Is there something Jesus can do that can help this child? Jesus, his own answer. What do you mean, if I can? If you can believe, nothing shall be impossible with you. Is that what he said? What do you mean, can I do something? Of course I can do something. What do you want me to do? I've given you all power and all authority. Just kick that devil out and do something. And so when you take his word and you kick out that devil, and then just think, the last part of that, what did that say again? Can you reread that again one more time? The one I just quoted, talk about the little boy that that was all messed up and had...
About the demons?
Yeah, the ones that kicked the demons out. Can you read that again, see what happened?
Read to what the grandmother said?
Yeah, see what the grandmother said. Turn Cheryl's mic back on.
The grandmother wrote and said that he had mental disorders, bipolar disorder, depression, social anxiety disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. The above are what some of my 19-year-old grandson has been diagnosed with and has suicidal and homicidal thoughts.
Now, this is enough almost to turn anybody off.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid's got major problems, right, Mike?
He wants to kill other people.
Yeah, keep going.
He believes that he will not live past 40 because
Don't believe he'll live past 40. The kid doesn't realize he's killing himself. If you want to die at 40, just start saying, I won't live to 40. And you'll die at 40 or less. Okay?
He believes that he will not live past 40 because he will take his own life. He's owned all types of medicines from doctors and has been abusing drugs and alcohol in the past. As far as I know, it's in the past. He's been in and out of 2 to 3 mental institutions, arrested, put in jail, bailed out, helped by all who love him. Along with all of this, his biological father has similar problems, but not as severe. On the same side of the family, his uncles are either homeless or in jail. 5 days ago, he hit a semi-truck going 70 miles an hour with no seatbelt on. This tells me that he's possibly trying to kill himself, and God spared his life with a bump on the head. That same day, he committed himself to a mental institution for the third time for suicidal thoughts and angry thoughts. He, Thomas, is at his lowest and believes he will never get better and that there is no hope. Please help. He is only 19 years old. Can he be healed of this disorder? Can it be under satanic influence? And how can we help? In desperate need, April. And then we wrote back the same day. Yes, there is hope.
Stop a second. Somebody, is there hope? And you're a Christian? And they ask you, is there hope? Is there hope, Mike?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a piece of cake for the king, right? I mean, a piece of cake. We don't know who we're serving. We don't know who we are. We are sons and daughters of God. Okay, honey, read on.
Yes, there is hope. Jesus.
Now, that guy that wrote that, he must have knew Jesus. You know that?
He does, but the typer knows him too.
Read on, honey.
Yes, there is hope. Jesus can deliver anybody. We've already prayed for him through his mother's request and kicked the demons out, and Thomas is going to get well. All you need to do is praise the Lord, as we have already prayed for his deliverance. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman.
Amen.
And then you want me to read what she said?
Yeah, read what she said.
Okay, then she wrote back 4 days later.
4 days later.
Thank you for allowing Jesus to work through your ministry and being so open to allow for outsiders to call at any time with desperate situations. My grandson Thomas called last night to ask forgiveness from us for doing some things in our house that he should not have done. His heart was truly softened with the love of God. A few days ago, he would have just been cold and uncaring, as if nothing mattered, and would have never asked for forgiveness for anything. He would have lied, took if he could, and it would have been all about him and what he wanted. It's only been a few days, but we can see a large difference in him as well as his mother. A true miracle, no doubt in my mind, that the Lord is working in my family and God holds true to his word. God bless you, April.
Hallelujah.
Who are we? Who are we?
The righteousness
of God in Christ Jesus. You got to remember that. You got to remember who you are. You got to know who you are. If you can remember who you are, and the only way you'll be able to do that is staying in the Word. You got to stay in the Word. And you can't go by what you see, feel, hear, nothing. Doesn't matter what happens. You got to believe what's written. You don't go by nothing else. You believe what's written. Just like Dave went over and over and over on communion, you got to believe what it says. You got to believe that by his stripes you are healed. It's a done deal. You got to believe that. So anyway, when you take a situation like this and you get a little girl healed, the parents, you tell them what to do. They listen. They repent of their sin. They go to God, and Daddy prays, and 5 days later, the little child is completely well. I just thought how awesome that is. And then I think about Gideon. That only took an hour. After we prayed for Gideon, after mother, but here again, mother. Have you ever seen a woman before that her husband, a man that she supposedly loves, he does something she don't like, and she gets so mad at him, she would turn to him and say, I hate you. Have you ever heard a woman say, I hate you? You ever heard a man say, I hate you? Yes. They don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize the curse they're putting upon themselves. But they're putting a curse on themselves. That's why the Lord told you, speak a blessing so that you may inherit a blessing. So if you speak a curse, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to inherit what you speak. So you're going to curse yourself. Now you wonder why everything in your life is going to hell in a handbasket. Because you're not walking with God. You want to be blessed? Only one way. Jesus. But with Jesus, Mike, I mean, there ain't no problem, is there? All things are possible. If you know Jesus and you know who you are, just like that woman down in Fort Worth years ago when I'm just barely learning these things, when I went there that Sunday afternoon when that demon and that woman came out of there screaming and slapping at me and everything. When she wouldn't come out first, so I prayed and told her husband. I said, I'm going to take authority over that spirit and command that devil to loose her. I said, then you and your sister-in-law is going to go in there and get her. You're going to bring her in, and I'm going to talk to her sitting right here in this chair. So they went and got her. But as she came in, one's holding under each arm. And her head's down like this, that big old heavy black hair holding down in her face. Walked in that room, she's screaming, I hate you. I hate you. You know, if you realize that if you don't realize you're dealing with something besides the world, you got a problem. That problem you're dealing with is called a demon. And I found out that day that demon was sent by God the Father. I knew I heard something wrong that day. When I said, Lord, this demon's not leaving, he said, I know he's there because I sent him. When I heard God say that to me, that the demon is there in this woman because he sent that demon, I said, Lord, I thought I had the wrong God. I thought the devil was talking to me. You understand that, Mike? It didn't fit my vocabulary right here. So I didn't understand what was going on. But when I began to meditate on the word that I had studied all these years, that if you don't forgive from your heart, God the Father will send a tormenting spirit to torment you and your wife and your children. Wow. So anyway, that day, before that day was over, I, knowing who I was in Christ, I got that woman to repent of her sin. She had to drag it out of her, but she forgave her first husband, which she hated. And when she drugged it, when I drug that out of her, then I said, "Now, ma'am, what you need is Jesus." "Yes, I want Jesus." And she jumped up and nearly knocked me over and said, "I want to make Jesus Lord of my life." A woman that her eyes were blinded by the God of this world that couldn't accept Jesus, now she's jumping up and down wanting Jesus. Isn't it life serving Jesus is lots of fun. I can't think of nothing I can do to have more fun than serving Jesus. Can you imagine that we got three cases out there on the board of children that have been healed? The finest doctors in the world couldn't touch those diseases. But Jesus healed all three of them. Is there hope with Jesus, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, yeah.
There's hope with Jesus. Guarantee. Okay, what time is it?
A little after four.
Okay, we're going to have communion. 4:06. We're going to have communion. Well, those of us who are going to pass out the communion, will you please come forward and get your stuff and let's...
Saturday's a healing school at
1
o'clock.
Yeah, Saturday is a healing school. We're going to have a healing school Saturday.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. We'll teach you the principles of the kingdom. And we're going to believe that if you come to a healing school, you're going to get healed.
Amen.
That's what we want. So just like all these children here, these people think about this. These people, none of these people have ever been to a healing school. Jenna's mother and daddy are from Washington State.
We've never met them.
They've never been to a healing school. And Gideon's mother and dad have never been to a...
We met them after in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, we did. That's right. We did meet them. Thank you, Scott. Yeah, I will say that we did meet that family in Baltimore.
After he was healed.
Yeah, after the little boy was healed. And, of course, he was running up down the hall of the street or down the aisles of the church. But anyway, Gideon's mother and daddy lived in Pennsylvania, I believe. And he got healed. And then, of course, Jenna's mother and daddy lives in Washington. She got healed. And Lola's mother and daddy lives in...
All of them got healed before we ever met them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and two of them we've never met, yeah. Isn't that something? Those children, those parents, we have learned something that if you will listen and do what it says, you can get people healed. If you can touch the right button, which is Jesus Christ somehow, some way, you can get anybody healed of anything if you can only believe. Only believe. Wow. I might make this quick, but Barron was praying for a man and a woman this last week, and she had a problem with her right arm. And he asked her, have you had a problem with your husband? And she had. And her husband, she wanted to clean up the garage, I believe it was. And he didn't want her to clean up the garage, so she went out there and cleaned up the garage anyway. Wasn't that true? Something like that? And then she came down with a terrible problem with her right arm. So Barron tried to tell this lady, "Ma'am, your husband is the head of the house. If he doesn't want you to clean up his garage, then you don't clean up his garage. You leave it like it is. So now then, what you need to do is repent." So she said, "Okay, I'm sorry. I will repent and ask my husband to forgive me for cleaning up his garage." And when she repented, what happened?
Her arm stopped hurting.
Right there over the phone, her arm quit hurting as soon as she repented. Now just think, what would have been the best thing for her to do? When her husband said, "I don't want you to mess with my garage," what do you think the best thing to do? Don't mess with his garage. Yeah, he's having trouble finding stuff, naturally, because she puts it up in a different place. I can only imagine if my shop out there I can only imagine if Cheryl went out there and cleaned up my shop. Oh, Lord. No, I hope I don't have to worry about that. I don't think there's a problem. First of all, everything's too heavy for her. She wouldn't want to do that, but yeah, it is amazing. How are we coming back there?
We're all passed out.
We're all passed out. Okay. Okay, we're all passed out. Praise the Lord. We take the bread. Dave done an excellent job of talking about the bread and what it does for us. And so by his stripes, we are healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. We eat the bread. And the blood. The most powerful thing in the universe. The blood of Jesus. Cleanses us from all sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If something happens to you, and you have an attack of the enemy, and you pray one time and you don't get your answer, don't give up. Stay with it. Stay with it, and you will get your answer. Yeah. Just like I was talking to Elizabeth the other night about headaches. She said she had a headache one day and didn't feel like coming to work, had a migraine headache. I told her, I said, well, young lady, let me explain to you how you overcome that. I said, first of all, you want to submit yourself to God. Then you want to resist the devil with a word and tell him he can't do this to you. He's got to get out. And I said, don't give up. I said, I had one of those one time. That's a very terrible splitting headache come up on me. And I quoted a word to the devil, and he didn't leave. And I woke up finally about 2 o'clock in the morning. I still had this terrible headache. I said, devil, you're trying to get me to take an Anderson, but I ain't going to do it. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. He bore my pain, so it's over and done. Now, you might as well go ahead and leave now, because I'm going to turn over here, and I'm going to get a good night's sleep, and I'm going to get up and go to work in the morning. There ain't going to be nothing wrong with me. Amen. Jesus' name. So I turned over, went back to sleep. Next one woke up, had never had a headache since. So you don't yield to the devil. You resist him.
Yes.
Command him to get out of your life, because he'll hang on if you let him.
Yes.
He's a beast.
Yes.
Isn't he? How much authority does he have over you?
None.
No, unless you sin.
Unless you listen. Yes.
If you sin, then he has legal right to you.
Yes.
So if you're trying to get rid of the devil and you can't get rid of him, then ask the Lord, Lord, what did I do wrong? I need to get rid of this sin. I don't want this thing, so deliver me in Jesus' name. Now, devil, you got to go in Jesus' name. Okay, we all picked up. Okay, I need my prayer warriors to stand up. If you need to come today and need prayer, these are my prayer warriors. You'll see them around the room, and plus Dave, he'll be here. But if you need a prayer request answered, these are the people to come see. Now, if you want to give something to the ministry, the donation box over there on the wall, we don't take an offering. We just let you put whatever you want to in there. If you want any of these CDs and DVDs, if you want any of them, all you got to do is just get what you want. We don't put a limit on them. You can take as many as you like. Just take them and use them for the glory of God. Any other word?
Saturday at
1 o'clock healing school. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Praise the Lord. Come back to see us Saturday or Sunday. We'll be here next Saturday and Sunday in Jesus' name.